conveying to us the fact that if we always think about the Lord Jesus Christ and His grace to us, then even in the dark days of life, what He calls winter, they become brighter as we think about who He is, what He did for us, and that very, very soon we'll be with Him where winters and what He calls clouds are no more. Won't that be a blessed day? Open your Bibles to Revelation chapter 22 this morning. Revelation chapter 22. We're now coming to the closing section of the book. And the ending is certainly most fitting. For the main theme, the main subject of this epilogue or conclusion is indeed the next appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible speaks of His two advents or two comings. The first time He came to save. He said concerning His entrance into this world, He said, I didn't come to condemn the world. I came to save. He didn't come to judge. He came to redeem. He didn't come to expose all souls and bring to reality as the way that things are, but He came to rescue His people by His substitutionary death. We rejoice in His name. His name is called Jesus, for He shall save His people from their sins. Yes, He came the first time to save. He will come the second time to judge. To judge. Our brother read to us from James 5 and verse 9, the judge is at the door. He's coming to judge. I wonder how you will fare in that day. What an awful, solemn day that will be. If we thought more often about standing before the great judge, I suspect that we'd devote more of our attention to the gospel issues and not be consumed with the things of the world. The judge is coming. He's on the other side of the door. You remember back in chapter 4 of Revelation, John heard a voice says, come up hither. And he said, I saw a door opened into heaven. I hope you remember that passage, and most likely you do. He said a door was opened, and when the door was opened, he saw what was inside. In fact, the other side of the door. Our Lord Jesus says through James in that passage of Scripture, basically saying, I'm at the door. I'm ready to open it. And who is at the door? The judge. The judge. The one who sees all things as they are. The one whose eyes penetrate deep within us. The one who sees our hearts. He sees if we mean business with Him. He sees if religion is just something we dabble with. He sees and He knows whether we love Him and believe Him. He knows the heart. He said, I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins. We read in Hebrews 4 concerning the Word of God that all things are naked and opened before the eyes of Him with whom we have to do. Oh, if I could speak to you individually, I would say this to you. The judge is at the door, and He's coming soon. And in that day when He does come, He will divide all of the nations of the earth, according to Matthew chapter 25, as a shepherd divides his sheep from his goats. And I know that sheep have always been sheep and goats have always been goats. God's people have always been His people, and those who are not His people, they've always not been His people. But those decrees of God, they're with Him. That's His secret will. I don't know the purpose of God pertaining to your salvation, but I do know your responsibility and mine as well to seek the Lord while He may be found. Amen. And indeed to call upon Him while He's near. Let the wicked forsake his way. Listen, works is not the way. It's not the way. Your righteousness is not the way. Your baptism is not the way. Your obedience to God's law, that's not the way. There is but one way to God. That's Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And I urge you to close with Christ Jesus. To be found in Him. You know, in the book of Philippians, this is the desire of the Apostle Paul. He said, I want to be found in Christ Jesus. Not having my own righteousness, which is by the law. I don't want to stand before God in my righteousness because mine is filthy rags. The best that I've ever done, and my friend, the best that you've ever done is only filthy in the eyes of God. I want to stand before Him in the garment of salvation that is the righteousness of the Lord Jesus. It's only in His beauties, it's only in His comeliness that folks like us can be accepted. Oh, hear me, the judge is at the door. He's at the door. And those only who know Him, who love Him, who believe Him, who are in Him, they alone shall be safe forever. I beseech you from the bottom of my heart, make your calling and election sure. Are you building all your hopes on Christ Jesus and Him crucified? Why should God let an individual like you into His holy heaven? And I tell you, if you give any other answer than because of Christ and His obedience unto death, even the death of the cross, oh, my friend, you're in serious trouble. And know this, the judge is at the door. The judge is at the door. Oh, indeed, He did come the first time to seek and to save that which was lost. He was on a mission of mercy. God gave Him a people more numerous than the stars of the sky. And He came into this world to save them, to deliver from sin. He came to save from the curse of the law. You see, the law of God examines us. And this is part of our Sunday school lesson this morning. We're talking about the rich young ruler who thought that an outward obedience before God was good enough. And he didn't realize that the law of God examines the heart. It examines the motives. It's not just what you do, it's why you do it. It's not just your actions, it's your thoughts. And the law of God examines you thoroughly and finds all of us guilty. Guilty before God. And the only way to be accepted by God is to be found in one whose obedience was honoring to God. And that is the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, to be found in Him. Oh, how sweet. Oh, how delightful. Oh, how soothing to the soul. As we think about meeting God. As we think about stepping out into eternity. And as we think about the judge who's on the other side of the door. Ready to open the door and He's ready to come back. And then He will judge. As we think about these things, those of us who find our hope in Christ Jesus only, we have no fear of that day. We have no fear of facing the judge, because the judge is our brother. The judge is our Savior. The judge is our friend. And all of our sins, He's already judged by His death upon the cross. Cursed is everyone that the law of God finds guilty. But in the Lord Jesus, we don't have any guilt. In the Lord Jesus, we don't have any sins. You see, this is why He came the first time on this mission of mercy. He came to save the Father's people, the people He had entrusted to Christ Jesus. So when He came the first time, He came to save, but He's coming the second time to judge. And this is indeed the theme of the rest of this, the 22nd chapter of Revelation. For instance, look at verse 7. Notice the words. Behold, Revelation 22:7. Behold, I come quickly. Literally, behold, I'm coming. I'm coming. Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book. Blessed is he who believes the word of God. Listen, this book is not a collection of wonderful religious sayings by men who didn't know God, by men who just thought they would put some moral statements together. That's not what this book is. This is the word of God. This is the inspired scriptures. These words were God-breathed. 40 different men wrote as the Spirit of God led them. Most of them weren't even contemporaries of one another. And they wrote over a period of about 1,500 years. And yet all of them speak the same story. They're all telling of Christ and Him crucified in the Old Testament in a picture, in figure, in typology, and in the New Testament in reality, in His person, and in His work, and in the declaration that He who came, He saved His people from their sins, and He's gone back to heaven where He represents us before the Father, and He rules all things, and He is soon to come again. We believe this book. This is the most unusual, unique book in all the world, and it's just one book, God's Word. God's Word. And blessed is that person who keeps, who observes. You know, that's what the word keeps means. Observes, looks to this book, and finds in this book the message of hope. The message of redemption. The message of reconciliation. Blessed is that man, because the Lord has given you eyes to see these wonderful things. The Lord is opening your mind and opening your heart to receive these things. To know how God can be just and justify the ungodly. The Savior says, behold, I come quickly. And blessed. Are you blessed? I tell you, you're talking about a blessing. It is a blessing to understand this book right here. And there are multitudes who will meet together today, God have mercy on them, who will not have set before them the Word of God, and therefore Christ Jesus the Savior. And I pity them, I feel sorry for them in their zeal, and in their, many of them in their seriousness, and in their devotion. They won't have the Word of God put before them. Listen, our only hope is to be exposed to the truth. And then for the Spirit of God to take the sword of the Spirit and put it in our hearts. Give us an understanding of salvation, of the gospel, of good news, of full redemption in Christ Jesus. That this salvation is not of works, but all of grace. Blessed is that man who is taught that message. Blessed is he that keepeth, who observes, who watches, who looks to this word. Where do you find your assurance for salvation except in this word? You can't trust your feelings. So often I've had people say to me, "You know, Jim, I just don't feel saved." What does it feel like to feel saved? Is that when you're feeling better about yourself? Never rise beyond this. I'm just a poor sinner and nothing at all. But Jesus Christ, He is my all in all. Don't rise above that. You see, there's nothing to you now. You who are the people of God, I know in Christ Jesus, you're made of God in Him to be wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. I know that. I know you're the people of God. I know you're the children of God, those of you who've been brought to rest in Him. But in yourself, as the apostle said, "In my flesh dwelleth no good thing." And that's you and me and everybody else too.
Amen.
And we say from the Scriptures, "Oh, wretched man that I am," not that I used to be. Oh, I used to be really wretched. I got news for you. You still are. "Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this flesh, of this death?" And in the very next breath, in Romans chapter 7, he says, "I thank God through my Lord Jesus Christ." You see, God, by His grace and according to His eternal purpose, He sees all of His people in the beauties, in the righteousness of His wonderful Son. And when we speak of, you know, we're covered with the righteousness of Christ, the garment of salvation, I know some people say, "Well, you just believe a pasted on righteousness." No, that's just an illustration the Bible uses. We're actually made the righteousness of God in Him.
Amen.
Now listen to the Scriptures and keep the sayings of this book down. In 2 Corinthians 5:21 we read, "For He," God, "omnipotent, majestic, omniscient, holy, just, righteous, for He hath made Him," the Son of God, the impeccable one, the preeminent one, "God hath made Him to be sin for us," for us worthless people, for us corrupt people. "And He made Him to be sin for us," that one who knew no sin, He never knew sin. And God made him to be sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Isn't that wonderful? Oh, how blessed that is. All of the iniquities of all of the people of God were made to meet on his head. And he owned the indebtedness as if it was his own. And he paid it in full by his death. This is the good news. We are debt free toward God. That's the good news due to the death of Christ Jesus.
Amen.
This is my only hope. And I get that good hope from the Word of God. Not how I feel, but from the Scriptures. Which says this, he that hath the Son, you know what he's got? He's got life. He that hath the Son hath life. And he that hath not the Son of God, he doesn't have life. But the wrath of God abides on him. So that's the sayings of this book. And the Savior says, behold, I come quickly. Blessed, well off, highly favored are those who observe, who watch, who look to this book. The sayings of the prophecy of this book. Notice again. And by the way, he identifies himself, lest we wonder who's speaking here. He identifies himself in verse 13. He says, I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. And you can read more about that in chapter 1. But look at verse 12. Virtually the same words. And behold, I come quickly. Behold, I am coming quickly. You say, but it's been 2,000 years. That's nothing to him. That's nothing to him. It's like the Lord said before us, 1,000 years with the Lord is as a day, and a day is 1,000 years. He's not bound by time like we are. He's not all the time looking at his watch like we do. All things are moving at his command. And he says, my reward is with me to give to every man according as his work shall be. The judge is at the door. And you can rest assured of this. Maybe that'd be a better title for this message. The judge is at the door. You can rest assured of this. That which you deserve in the day of judgment is exactly what you're going to get. Every man will get exactly what he deserves. So, but what? You've already beat me down and tell me I'm a wretched person. Well, I don't want what I deserve. Oh, but Christ Jesus is your righteousness. He is your holiness. And that which you will receive is the full reward for his sufferings. And that means everlasting bliss. That's what that means. But if your hope is in yourself, it's everlasting damnation. My reward is with me, says. The judge is at the door. That's solemn, isn't it? The judge is at the door. As though ready, here's a door over here, or for all of you, here's a door right here. What's on the other side of the door? An empty little space. But our Lord uses that as an illustration. The judge is at the door. He's just on the other side. Oh, how near is the other side of that door? It's just right there. That's not very far away. And my friend, that is eternity. It's not very far away. For what is your life? That's what you read. It's even as a vapor. And then when you die, you're going to the other side of the door. What's on the other side of the door? eternity. That's what's on the other side of the door. And our Lord abides in eternity. And he says, I'm on the other side of the door. And one of these days, I'm going to open the door and I'm coming back. And how will it be with you in that day? Behold, I come quickly. And again, if you doubt as to who's speaking these words, look in verse 16. I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. Well, who are you, Jesus? I'm the root and the offspring of David. There's his humanity. I'm the Son of Man and the bright and the morning star. I fill all of creation with light. I'm God. Who speaks these things? I, Jesus. And then look down at verse 17. In light of the Savior's words, behold, I am coming quickly. The Spirit and the bride, we say together, come. We've heard what the Savior said. Behold, I come quickly. And what do the saints of God say? Oh, Lord, come. Come. Oh, how it would thrill our souls if this very moment he opened the door and said, time has now come to an end. He comes back in the clouds to receive us unto himself. It'd just be wonderful, wouldn't it?
Amen.
I've often thought about the people of God. You know, for a bunch of years, about 6,000 years, the people of God have been dying one by one, going out to be with the Lord, going to the other side of the door. It shouldn't be a fearful thing for us to go to the other side of the door. The door, though, is like death. That is, death is the door. You shouldn't be fearful of the door on the other side of the Lord. For 6,000 years, the Lord sends a messenger to bring his children home. And he opens the door for them. And then he closes the door back. The Spirit of God who has worked within our hearts, he leads all of the people of God to say this, Lord, open the door and please come back yourself to receive us unto you. How immensely joyful it would be this morning if he opened the door and all of us as a congregation went out to meet him together. Wouldn't that be wonderful? To go out, as it were, arm in arm. When his glory splits the sky, he comes back in the clouds of heaven, and every eye shall see him, and immediately we be caught up together to meet the Lord in the air. Caught up together. Let's go, brethren. Here we go. Here we go. Oh, the joy of our hearts. And then we shall be changed. How long will that take? Oh, it won't take long. In a moment, the twinkling of an eye, the last trump. And that's when this mortal shall put on immortality. I'm a dying man. I'm a dying man. 67 years old, I'm dying. Been dying ever since I was born. My heart began to beat a cadence, and one of these days, that drumbeat will stop. And I shall leave this world and enter in to meet the Lord. I wish we could all go together. But unless he comes back soon, it will still be where the door just opened for another believer. Just opened for another believer. And the door is closed. But all the while, on the other side of the door is the Savior. Oh, that will be glory for me. When by His grace I shall look on His face, that will be glory for me. The Spirit and the bride say, come. You know, back in chapter 21, the last phrase of verse 9 of chapter 21, verse 9, the last statement says, come hither, I will show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife. And John then sees all of the people of God, all of the elect of God, all redeemed people, all of those who've been regenerated by His quickening Spirit, all of those who've therefore been brought to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. He sees them all. He sees the church in her glorified state and says, this is the Lamb's wife. But that's when we're all together. That's when this marriage is finally consummated. At the marriage supper of the Lamb. But until then, we're not called the wife. We're called the bride. And here in verse 17, the Spirit and the bride, this is what we now say. Come. And not only did the Spirit and the bride say, come, but let him that heareth say, come. Let all who hear this gospel today, who hear this message, not just with these ears, though it does come in through the ear gate, as Bunyan used to say. The gospel comes in through the ear gate. But as God gives us spiritual ears to hear the good news of salvation accomplished by Christ and Him crucified, then we're brought to life. Let all who hear, if you have this morning heard the good news of salvation by Christ and Him crucified, and are now brought to love Him and believe Him, and you long to see Him, then you too can join in with the rest of us and say, come, come. And watch this. And whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. We learned last Sunday night that this water of life, in verse 1, he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. This water of life flows from the very throne of God, from his sovereign grace, from his eternal purpose. And if you're thirsty, anybody here thirsty for forgiveness? Anybody here thirsty for righteousness? Anybody here thirsty for acceptance by a holy God? Anybody here thirsty to see the judge in his beauty and in his glory and to worship him forever and ever? Anybody thirsty for salvation? Take the water of life freely. Amen. Won't cost you anything.
Amen.
It won't cost you anything. No conditions. If it wasn't written in the Word of God, I'd say this is too good to be true. You mean it's free? As in won't cost me a thing? That's exactly what this means. It cost the Savior his life's blood. It cost you nothing. I can rejoice in this. Now watch this quickly. Verse 20. He which testifieth these things. I thought it was John testifying. John's just been told what to say. These are the words of the Savior. These are the words of the Master. He which testifies these things, this is what he says. Surely I come quickly. This is the theme here of the latter part of Revelation chapter 22. Amen. So be it. I'm coming quickly. And John, led by the Spirit of God, says, even so come, Lord Jesus. Preacher, when will he come back? Preacher, I've been looking over in the Middle East and I'm trying to judge the things that are happening to Israel and the condition of the world, and don't look for signs. Don't do that. An evil and adulterous generation seeketh after signs. I'm not looking for indications of his coming. I'm not looking for signs of his coming. I'm looking for the one who's coming. And let all who are the people of God, as it were, stand on the tiptoes of faith, looking toward the sky, and say, even so come, Lord Jesus. He's just on the other side of the door. Amen. And either I'm going to meet him through that door, or he's going to come through the door and receive us unto himself, that where he is, there we will be also. That's good enough for me. Good enough for me. Let's sing a song. Let's sing 147. There'll be no